I know. That's a little dramatic, isn't it? Did you like that? It's kind of cute. I know. I know. They had a little thing just for me, so you would know who I am. But that's exactly what we're talking about tonight, is this whole idea of a love fool, of somebody who's so struck and smitten by this word called love. It's when a man finds a woman who is beautiful. When a man sees a woman that is amazing, she's number 10. She makes your eyes want to pop out your face. As our wonderful senior pastor says, makes your tongue want to jump out your head and slap your brain. Wah-bah-bah! Ladies, when you find a man so strong, so good looking, when he wears the shirt, his little chest hairs pop out. Because a brother got some manliness inside of him. When he goes to wave at you, you see his armpit hair just kind of peek out a little bit. To say, it almost as if it was saying, how you doing? It's when you find that one person so special, as you see them right away on the bus, your heart breaks. But when you hear your phone go, boop, 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 and you look at it, and it's them with a greater than sign, than a 3, you know everything is going to be all right. Uh-huh. It's when you hear about this wonderful, special person you've bared your soul to the next day. You hear that they were kissing somebody else. How you so desire to take your fist, shove it down her throat, pull out her tonsils, tie them in a knot, and forget you were ever a Christian. You know what I'm saying? You ever been there before? Let me tell you. Make a brother crazy. Man. I'm not going to go any further into that because then I'm going to start crying. Ninth grade's tough, man. Ninth grade's tough. Don't even start it. And you're like, you kissed him? Really? Really? I'm like way better than him, you know? My swagger is greater. Now just so you know, if I use certain slang and you're thinking, is he allowed to say that in church? It's because I don't know what it means. Okay? Just so you know, I'm officially at that point in my life where I am old enough to not be cool anymore. So understand. And if I do say something bad, please wait until after service to tell me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yellow man, I love you too. I love you. All right, so let's get into this mug. Okay, so here we are. We're going to get in the Word today because we're at church, right? So that's what we're going to do. So if you came here expecting to not get into the Bible, then seriously, really? You're at church, okay? But here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into this, and you know, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to kind of talk about that. So I understand. You know, like I was praying, you know, there's a lot of opinions. Every stinking TV show past 3 o'clock in the afternoon is talking about this stuff. I mean, even iCarly got to get up in this business. You know what I'm saying? That's on Disney Channel, I think. Is it, or is it Nick? Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm sorry. Hannah Montana doesn't go there, does she? No, she canceled anyway. So you know we're gonna kind of get into this because the truth of the matter is we hear. I mean, look, you. I mean, I remember the first time I ever learned about sex. If I can just be real honest with you, was in third grade. No, yeah, it was in third grade, and it was by these two girls. One girl whom I liked, it happened around a table during clay time, And these two girls were making, now, like I said, maybe you're not, sorry if you're not used to hearing these words in church, but they were making little tiny clay sperm. And I'm just being real. Like I said, I'm bearing my soul to you. And it was, and I remember at the end of this conversation, I picked my jaw up off the ground and said, that's gross. I remember that. And it was truly, I said, they do that? And I'm like, I was blown away. And I was like, seriously? And it was weird. And that was the first talk I got before my, and they beat my parents to the punch. So I learned, that's where I learned about sex, was from these two girls, Michelle McDaniel and Cheryl. That's what it was. I know. And apparently it damaged me enough. I married a Michelle, and so go figure. I know, but she's pretty hot, so that's cool. My wife, not the third grader, because that'd be weird. So if you guys got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2. Now we're going to talk about love, and you know the reason this is called love fool in a sense, because that's what we're going to talk about. Because this is the underlying issue. You know, it's not called sex or, you know, other weird, awkward words that we could have used for this. Because the truth of the matter is, this isn't that, you know, I'm not just going to be talking about sex the next couple of weeks, even though it is kind of interesting to talk about in church. The underlying issue is love, because it's greater than just this one act or these acts that people do. You know what I'm saying? It's a deeper issue, because it's an issue of a heart. It's an issue of the heart. And you know, one thing we will not be doing in the next couple of weeks and tonight is I will not be throwing a guilt trip on anybody. I will not be working to make anybody feel bad or ostracized. I will not be pointing out how wrong certain people are. I'm just going to be talking the truth today. And the truth of God is always meant to be spoken in love. Because the truth that matters is you can, and don't get freaked out about this, but you could never have sex in your entire life, ever, not even get close, and still be far from God. See, the closeness of your relationship to God is not dependent upon your closeness to the other person that you seem to like. You know, I mean, they're related, but that's not what it's about. See, it's an internal thing. You see, God's not so much concerned about changing the outside of your life, the way you act. Listen to this, because this is important in regards to this next couple weeks. God's main concern is not so much changing the outside and the actions of your life, as God is concerned about changing the inside of your life. You catch that one? See, that's why we're talking about love the next couple weeks. It's not so much about, you know, who you did what with whom, although that is very important to God. The ultimate issue is, we do those things with this person and that person and because of a reason. And the reason we do that is because of the condition of your heart. You see, the next couple weeks, I want to talk to your heart. Because if you can connect your heart with the heart of God, then all this other stuff, the stuff you, with your boyfriend and your girlfriend and this person and that person, and what you post online and what you text to people and the words that you use and the way you look at girls or the videos and the videos online that you choose to look at, all that stuff hinges upon the condition of your heart. And I think you already know that. I really do. I think you already know that, because I know in this room we're not talking to a bunch of kids. This isn't junior high. This is senior high, and I am full aware that several people, maybe a lot of people in this room, have understand what I'm talking about. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's several people in this room that I do not. I'm not here to throw a guilt trip or anything, but I just want to talk to the heart of the matter. So if you'll allow me to talk to the heart of the matter, from God's heart to yours, I think we can get somewhere in this place. Because people do a lot of crazy things for love. I mean, I believe it's in India where the Taj Mahal is. And if I'm wrong, please let me know, because I've never been there before. But the Taj Mahal is this huge wonder of the world. It's this beautiful construction. It's this big building that is dedicated to a woman. I mean, people do crazy things for love. They do crazy, stupid things for love. People do expensive, painful things for love. This man built an entire monument to his wife, to his lover. And you know what? Taj Mahal is her coffin. He loved her so much, he built this huge building and he buried her inside of it when she died. That's what I mean, people get tattoos. Some of you even have tattoos on your bodies right now that you are going next week to get etched out and covered by a little teddy bear, okay? That because you thought you loved this person so much. I mean, this one person loved this woman so much that he got this tattoo on their body. This person, I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, and it's like, you mean well. She's an attractive woman, and it's even deeper because it says in loving memory. I don't know what that means. It's really kind of sad. just the teeth. It's the teeth that get me, you know? People do crazy things, you know? And even, I mean, I just read an online article that said people are doing strange, just even weirder weddings than usual. I read that World of Warcraft weddings are exploding online. You know, you have a great giant forest mage marrying a level 32 war orc. It's kind of weird, but it happens online. People dress up all weird, like Star Wars, and some people even possessed weird enough to have little blue men from Avatar at their wedding. Kind of, I mean, people do crazy, stupid things. I mean, seriously, I would not dance with them during the money dance. Okay, I don't care. I'm Mexican, but I don't care. The money dance, the money tree is not, that happens in weird clubs downtown, okay? It's not what I do. Okay, it just people do really stupid things for love, and it makes sense when you think about it. You know, today, this evening, I want to talk about crazy love. And as you know, there are two kinds of crazy. There is good crazy, and there is bad crazy. Good crazy is pretty good. Bad crazy is pretty bad. And all crazy is doing something that's out of the norm. It's not fully accepted by society. It's maybe it's a little strange. But you know, God has wired us to be crazy. God's wired us to be crazy. That's why some of you guys are up till 3 o'clock in the morning playing Modern Warfare, because you're crazy. That's why some of you guys are. I mean, people have a tendency to get so obsessive and deep into things because God has called us. God created each and every one of us to be people who are sold out for something. And when we're sold out for the wrong thing, it's bad crazy. But when we're sold out for the right thing, it's good crazy. See, in Genesis 2:8, in the very, very beginning, the very first love story was between a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I firmly, strictly believe this is not it's not a fairy tale or a nice myth, you know, part of mythology back in the day. I believe this is the truth, honest to goodness truth. We're not here to get into that today, but this story between a man Adam and a woman Eve, you know, God said, you know, if you look at it in Genesis 2:18, you know, God kind of speaks and it says, the Lord said, it is not good that a man should be alone, but I will make him a helper, a partner, a homie, comparable to him. Not inferior or superior, but comparable. Someone on the real, on the level. And see, God designed me and you to want relationships. If you want a relationship, you are normal and healthy. That is okay. Even though your parents may not like it, maybe your dad is buying weapons, maybe your mom is pulling your hair out. That is perfectly normal and there's nothing wrong with you. Girls, if you have or at any time have at one time practiced putting his last name at the end of your first name, that is normal. Guys, if you've looked at a woman, that is normal. I have looked at my wife numerous times today. It is normal. I'm sorry if that's weird. Pastor Joe, can I get a witness? Amen. It is normal. But the... Dang. See, brother, get an amen in here, man. But here's the problem, is when we take these normal, natural emotions and feelings and hormones and we begin to use them for the purposes of evil and not good. The purpose of evil being anything that God says is not kosher, okay? If you're not Jewish, that means it's no good. No es bueno. And that's where good crazy becomes bad crazy. See, it's kind of weird because there's a very fine line between good crazy and bad crazy. You know, it's almost like good crazy and bad crazy are next door neighbors. And if you're not careful, you can go from good crazy very quickly to liking and appreciating and wanting and desiring a relationship to where you go over the deep end and you jump over the white picket fence over to the bad crazy. See, what happened here all of a sudden in Genesis 2:18, God created Adam to be good crazy about his wife. God created Eve to be good crazy about her husband, okay? And all of a sudden, everything was good until all of a sudden a bad crazy entered the garden. And they began to get selfish. They begin to want things that God didn't give them and God didn't ask them to have. And see, the problem is this, is when you and I want things that God never intended us to have in ways that we never intended us to have it. And the blessing becomes the curse when we go from good crazy to bad crazy. See, we got to be careful about that. Because if you're not aware of this, is, you know, and maybe you've been through some of the development classes about that. Maybe you've had, you watched the TV shows like my parents made me watch about what's going on in this tumultuous time in your life, you know, where you have armpit hair now and you stink, you know. And I know, I understand this is more of a junior high talk there because we need to tell them to wear deodorant. But in here, you know, in your life, you know, you are at, there's a 600% increase in hormones in your body that wash through your brain several times a day, depending on your age. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy. It is. Now, what do you do? What do you do with it? This? What do you do with emotions and feelings? What do you do when your relationship and your boyfriend and your girlfriend is going crazy and you don't know where to turn? How do you keep things on the good side of crazy instead of the bad side of crazy? How do you keep God involved in your life? How do you keep God involved in your relationship? Because, you know, I said it, I think it was last week, but every relationship needs three people. It needs you, it needs the other person, and it needs Jesus Christ right there in the middle of it. All right, that's the only other third person that belongs in your relationship. I'm just saying. All right, amen. And without that missing piece, it's like trying. It's like trying to run a car with no gasoline. It's just not going to work. See, there's a good crazy and a bad crazy. And on the good crazy side of things, you got to realize that God created sex to be crazy good. That's why people have sex. That's why people have relationships, because it's good, because it feels good, because it makes you feel nice, because, now, I'm sorry, this is probably the, I'm sorry, I know this is, like, where the awkward part of church comes in, so I will try, I'm gonna try to get past the awkward part real quick, because it's just kind of weird, but see, a lot of times we have this weird mentality because of what's happened to us, because of the words people said, maybe because of the things people have done to us. Sex has become a dirty thing. And because of what we see on TV, and because of pornography, and because of the dirty, nasty strip club down the street, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, you know, sex has become something that's nasty or something that's dirty. It's become something that people whisper behind closed doors about. It's something that's stuck on only websites that we say accidentally popped up. You know, it's something that's underground and it's something that people don't really like to talk about. But the truth of the matter is, sex was never, and intimacy and relationships and that whole jazz was never meant to be that way. Sex was designed, you know, the devil did not create sex. God did. Sex belongs to God. That's kind of a weird statement because we usually picture God as like a nice old man sitting on a cloud. That is not the case. It's true. God's not a nice old man with a long beard on a cloud. God is much greater than that. And usually God created sex. I mean, you look at it. Okay, we're in Genesis anyway. The first instructions God gave Adam and Eve is interesting. And don't lose me here, okay? But it says in Genesis 1, verse 27 through 28, the Bible says this. And it's kind of a strange thing to talk about in church, but it says, "So God created man in his own image." Why? So man would act like God acts, so that we would be godly. So if you're not acting godly, then you're in the wrong place. But he says, God made man, Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. And God said, because you're blessed, he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion and responsibility over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on earth. See, he says, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree which whose fruit yields seed, and you shall have it to you as food. And God says, I have provided everything for you. But the very first thing God says is, you're blessed. And then he says, here's the job and the responsibility. To rule over the earth, to do all these wonderful things, be responsible for it, take care of this stuff. But even before he said that, he said, be fruitful and multiply. God said, have a family. Especially back then, there's only one way to have a family. Know what I'm saying? And if we've all been through that class, you know how one way to have a family, and that's to enjoy intimacy between a relationship. This is the first instruction God gave. And it's funny because that means that since it's the first thing, it means it's important. It means sex is important. It means intimacy and relationships are important. It's important to God. See, God is not like saying, what are they doing? Oh, I did not know that happens. God is not saying, angels, give me your wings and cover mine eyes, because my glory cannot behold this activity. God created this, and it's important to him, because relationships are important to God. And if you don't treat intimacy and this whole thing of relationships important, it destroys people. Do you know why it's so important? Because when this happens, and when families are created, and families are the most important thing in God's creation is a family. And see, what happens is this, is because it's so important, you know, it's become one of the number one attacks of the enemy, and this world has done everything to devalue it and to deface it. And see, what happens is when we take intimacy and sex and relationships and we take them outside of the way they're supposed to be built, here's what happens is families get broken, hearts get broken. We have single mothers, single fathers, we have divorces. And if you've ever been in a family that's been divorced, been in a family that's been divorced 3-4 times, okay, you understand the pain. And you understand how much it hurts having to choose between mom or dad. You understand that. And see, if we and you and me and people, parents would take responsibility for how important this thing called sex and intimacy is, then we wouldn't have this pain. If we would do it God's way instead of our way, we wouldn't have this issue. And that's why it's so important. You know, God attached this thing called sex to family. God attached it to relationships because how important it all is. And when we treat it unimportantly, when we treat it casual, there's no such thing as casual sex. No such thing at all. Ever. I was just going to say that. But when you take it away, when you try to take it out of its original intent, your blessing becomes a curse. What God called to be good becomes bad. And see, that's important. Now, I understand if you guys don't like what I'm saying, that's all right. If this is funny, then that's all right. But some people in this place want to hear this. See, that's good crazy. That's good crazy. You know, God designed us to desire these things and want these things because it's a gift he's given us. And when we realize it's not something that the devil created or something that's really dirty that Hugh Hefner is like number one about and stuff like that, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to God. And when we realize that, then we can use it for its original intent, is to enjoy the relationship that the Lord's given you. You see, because God created sex to be good. And God created that way because sex brings people together. I know that is kind of like a duh statement, but it brings people together. It joins two hearts together. You see, there's never just a physical aspect of love, of sex, excuse me, but it's always a deeper thing that's spiritual. Sex is a very spiritual thing. And I don't know if you understand that, but sex is a very spiritual thing. You know, and even more than that, you know, All you have to do is read certain scientific studies, and you talk to certain psychologists, and you know, sex is one of the most powerful things a person can do biologically inside of you. You know, every time people fall in love and they engage in this stuff, every time they have sex and they do this, you know, certain chemicals are released in your body, and it's the most powerful bonding agents chemically that happen inside of a person's life. You know, the only thing comparable is when a mother, and this is kind of weird, is when a mother breastfeeds. You see, I know, it's interesting. Now, there's nothing weird about this, but catch this. See, when a woman nurses her child, chemicals are released inside the baby, inside your brain, and inside the mother. And these chemicals are they change your emotions, and they make you attached, and they make you emotionally bond. I'm going to get a little science done here, okay? They make you emotionally bond to what you're looking at. What your eyes are looking at, it makes you bond to that. You see, that's why, you know, that's why babies stare at their mother's face when they're nursing, because the baby is bonding with the mom. Because it's one of the strongest bonds that you can find is between mother and child. And the same thing, in a sense, chemically happens when people have sex. You bond with the person you're with. There is no such thing as casual sex. It binds two people together. See, when it's healthy and when it's strong in a relationship, then God designed it that way to keep a marriage intact, to keep a marriage together. Because if this is happening and it's healthy and it's you know, going like it's supposed to be going, then what happens is all of a sudden the husband loves the wife more and the wife loves the husband more, and it keeps them together when there's arguments and money problems, when you guys are going crazy sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And that's what happens, is it brings people together like crazy. In Mark 10th chapter, God talks about this before people ever knew about the science of it. God begins to talk in Mark 10. Jesus is talking, and he says this. He says in Mark 10, verse 6 through 9, the Bible says this. Mark 10, 6 through 9, God says this. It says, "But from the beginning of creation," Bible, Jesus says, "God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And those two shall become one flesh. And when they're no longer two, but one flesh, what God has joined together, let not man separate." Let not man separate. Let not anybody else separate because of what's going on, because of the closeness of that relationship. And see, when we step out of that, all of a sudden what happens is when you begin to jump the gun and get involved with other people before God's timing, what happens is your heart gets tied to somebody else. And your soul and your spirit get tied to somebody else. And the next person comes along, and you take that baggage from that other person and you tie it to somebody else. And then you go to the next person, and you take those two people and their hearts and their souls, and you begin to tie it to somebody else. And all of a sudden, before you know it, if you're not careful, by the time you get married, by the time you enter college, you have 2, 3, 4, who knows how many people attached, that you're carrying around a piece of them wherever you go. And then it's difficult to hold down a relationship. I mean, studies tell you, people who live together before they get married, people who engage in premarital sex before they get married, you know, the statistics will tell you that their relationship has a lower chance of staying together long term. You know, God designed me and you to have one marriage through our entire life, one intimate relationship like that. And see, more than that, you know, I mean, who are you giving your heart away to emotionally and physically? You got to watch yourself. I know this is not a very popular message, but that's the truth of the matter. That's why people get messed up. That's why it hurts to break up with someone so much after this has happened. If I could tell you from experience, I understand. It hurts to break up with someone after you've gone the distance, after you've shown them how much you love them, after you've done whatever it takes to keep them. That's what happens, because the two become one flesh. And it's like it's like ripping apart. It's like ripping apart your own body. Do I have my tape? Did somebody give me my tape? Do I have my tape here? Oh, thank you. I you know, it's just to kind of belabor the issue. Oh, thank you. Ooh, you got me the shiny tape. It's just like tape. I mean, tape was meant to be sticky because it sticks things together. It takes two things, makes them one. I know, Pastor Richard, this is not very interesting, but that's exactly what it is. You take the paper and you say, "Paper, I love you, paper." That's what my daughter says. "I love you, paper." And you think, "Paper, don't you love this piano?" "Yes, I do." "Don't you want to be with this piano forever?" "Why, yes. Yes, I do." So you tape it. And all of a sudden, they're joined together in holy matrimony. Dun, 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 dun. You guys got your rice? You didn't bring your rice? The problem happens is when you get two people. Can I have two people? I know, this is... Maybe let's make this unawkward. Let's make this unawkward. Are there any married people in the house? Okay. They are not married. They're not married. Okay. I know, a whole year. Can you believe that? That's a good job, guys. Okay, let me get one of my married couples up here. I don't know. Do you want Pastor Joe and Marnie? Pastor Joe and Marnie, come on up. Come on up. Pastor Joe's helping out with the youth ministry. His wonderful wife is ready to have a baby in a month. I know, they're going to be adding to their family. One of the most important. Oh! Thank you, Sal, for better tape. So, Pastor Joe likes Marnie. Marnie likes Pastor Joe. and they together want to be forever bonded. Forever. So they decide to be bonded together. Oh, how nice. Oh, can you help me out here? Thank you. I only got one hand here. Thank you, Pastor Joe. Whoa, she's strong. Now, they're kind of bonded a little bit here. That's kind of nice. Maybe they've dated for a little bit, and they're, you know, and they're not really too bonded together because it's not really strong. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, if they were, let's say they were to break up at this point, it wouldn't really hurt because, well, there's not a whole lot of commitment there. But if they were to get married and or to take the next step, it would require a tighter bond, something a little more expensive. Pastor Joe, can you please put this on your wife's hair? Just go ahead and wrap this right around like she had dental surgery. Yeah, just wrap both of your heads together right now. I'll hold this real quick. Just go ahead and put it around your hair and just get it real good because she did her hair. Joe, what's wrong with you, man? Stop! I want this baby to have a father. What's wrong with you? It's her hair. She did it nice today. Man. You got to do what the pastor says. That's why you're the man. That's why you're the man. Crazy. Now, if we were to wrap her wonderful, beautiful hairdo in tape, and then let's say all of a sudden Pastor Joe didn't like the way she cooked. He said, this is over, sucker. Hit the road. This is my house. Y'all jacked up. You are not different cars tonight. You guys, you know, you're in the doghouse, dude. It would be as if he was to take that tape and rip it off of her hair. And it would hurt because it's a more deep attachment than just clothes and sweater vests. I mean, it's skin, it's hair. And were he to, if it was teenagers, I would have done it. But this, I just can't mess these people. They're just so nice. You know, and the tape would have hair on it, and pieces of skin, flesh. It'd be horrible. It'd be really painful. And that's what happens. Go ahead, grab a seat. Thank you so much. I should have done it. Should have been. This is exactly what happens. Because of the bonding that happens is when we go too far too soon, what happens is all of a sudden our heart gets destroyed and we come running to God or we come running to our girlfriends or our boyfriends. No, men don't have boyfriends. They have man friends. And we go running, we say, and then the guy says, she did you dirty, man. She did you dirty. She ain't even pretty no more. You know, let's go. Let's find some other girls. Let's get a nice hyena and you can make out with her and make her feel better. You know, and you know, your heart's just broken in two and you do it, but whatever you can to put it back together because you've been so ripped emotionally apart. Or worse than that, you so abuse your own heart that you don't feel nothing no more because the scar tissue is too great. And you go to bed crazy. Because sex was meant to be an act of love. And right now, in this nation, in this world, sex is a time killer, something to do when you're bored. Sex is something to do because you think she's fly. And the way she looks in them pants is like, bam, tight. All of a sudden, because we do it because we're lonely. We do it because we want to prove something to somebody else. Sex has become something that you see on YouTube, and it's been so devalued. When the truth of the matter is, sex was always meant to be an act of love because of its power, because of the strength, because of the depth of what it is. Sex was meant to be an act of love, and now it's just something you see on prime time. Every other TV show. Ephesians 5. Last, I'm going to only have one more verse after this. I'm going to shut this bad boy down because Pastor Richard talked too much. Don't say amen or we'll be mad. All right. Ephesians 5:21. God outlines the requirements of the way me and you are supposed to act if we think we're ready to have sex. This is what he says. Talking about marriage. God says this. God says, he says, you just submit one to another in the fear of God. All right? All right? And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. It's in there. As to the Lord. Right after it says, you're supposed to submit to each other. Okay? So don't think that's That ain't downer on a woman. It says, because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. I say this every time I do a wedding. This is the verse we read. And it says, as he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands and everything. Here it breaks it down. It says, verse 25. Ephesians 5:20 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. And he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he would present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies, because whoever loves his wife loves himself. See, sex was meant to be an act of love in a marriage, because the way marriage was designed is that the husband would give himself for the betterment of the woman. Look, if you can get away with this, you could do whatever you want, as long as afterwards you can look at that girl in the face and say, I've made you more glorious. You could do whatever you want to that girl, as long as you could say, I've made you spiritually more clean. As long as you could look at this girl and say, I have given you more value. I have honored you. Because guys, if you can't look her in the morning, look at her face in the morning and say, I have honored you, then you have no right doing it. And ladies, if he will not and cannot say that about you, he's not worth the time of the day. He's not worth a second look. He is not worth a phone call back. He is not worth a text message. He is not worth you sending him a picture. He is not worth any of that stuff. If he cannot say, I'm going to sanctify you by my actions. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know what Jesus Christ did for me and you? He went on a cross and did what we couldn't do so we could live. Look. Guys, if you're going to do something to a girl, with several girls, with somebody else's daughter, speaking as a dad, don't make me get crazy. And you're not empowering her to do something, if you're not helping her to be rescued or feel safe, you have no business doing that. And I'm not going to draw a line, because people at church ask all the time, how far can I go before I sin? And I know that because I used to ask that question. All right, can we be real? And the question is, you can go as far as you want, as long as you're treating that young lady, or as long as you're treating that boy or man, be strong enough to be a man, like Christ treated the church. And if that's a kiss, a hug, whatever it is, if you're treating them and you're saying, I'm leaving you off better than before you met me, you can do it. As long as you're real with yourself. Because that's what it is. Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he would sanctify and cleanse her with the word. Otherwise, you get to bed crazy. Last verse here. I'm going to shut this bad boy down. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, don't you know that he was joined to a harlot or a prostitute is one body with her? It says, because the two shall become one flesh. But whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. It says, flee, run, keep away, like the plague, avoid sexual immorality. Because every sin that man does is outside his body. But whoever commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Don't you know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you don't belong to yourself, because you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. See, every good thing about sex, when we take it outside of good crazy, becomes bad crazy. And the part of you that gets closer, all of a sudden, becomes deeper heartbreak. The part of you, all of a sudden, you know, the part of you that is supposed to feel safe and welcomed, all of a sudden, you're waiting for the end of the month. Is it going to come? Am I going to have it? You begin to think, all right, do I have to get some tests? Because
There's a weird rash now, guys.
I ain't saying, I'm just saying. All of a sudden, where God designed this intimacy to create a family, all of a sudden we're scared to create a family. And you know, we have to begin to live with these consequences. Like I said, I'm not ready to make fun of, or I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. But look, if this is where you're at, then you need to make some changes in your life. Not because you're bad or dirty or nasty, because that's not even the case, but because God is better for you. Because God is better for you. God is better for you. We live in a place where a quarter of teenagers get an STD every year. That's one out of every four. And most of them don't even know it. God is better for me and you. God is better than for me and you. And like I said, that's not to make anybody feel bad or ugly or dirty, because that's not the issue. The issue is this, is God is greater for you. And anything that maybe you have done, God's not ashamed or embarrassed or looking down on you. God's not rejecting you, but he's saying, look, come to me and I'll heal you. I'll make you whole. And you know what? I'll show you true love. That's what he's saying. So if you guys got anything I got today, let's give him praise.